For those that don't know, I preached at the seminary this Friday, and I tried to kill two birds with one stone, excuse the expression. And I haven't preached there since I left the seminary, and it was a terrible experience in writing the sermon. The preaching went fine. The writing the sermon was the terrible experience because I got so stuck in my head. I was going back to academia. I was going to be preaching to students, to very smart people, to a bunch of professors possibly. And so my sermon writing took 12 hours this week, and I ended up with a 10-minute sermon that was very heady, filled with all kinds of words. And so I decided to scrap it and just talk today. So we're starting over, but I'm starting over with a lot of research that I'd like to share with you now without getting too heady and wordy. This is an incredibly beautiful psalm, but when I first saw it, I thought, there's no way I want to preach on this psalm. It starts off incredibly beautiful with jubilant praise, taking us into an understanding of God as a king above all other gods. For those that don't know, there were many gods worshipped at that time. So this is the God above all other gods. And then we're reminded of what a kind of a creator this God is. This is the creator whose hands made the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains, the sea, and the dry land. Now, in our culture, we think, oh, we're talking about beautiful things like Mount Tam and the sea, and we should be worshiping God because God makes beautiful things. But that's not what's being referenced here. If you go back to the beginning of Lent, and for those that don't know, we're looking at a different psalm every Sunday. And Psalm 130 started us off, and out of the depths we cry. So the depths of the earth are not this pretty visual that we think of. The depths are a place of struggle and internal strife and suffering. And out of the depths, we cry to God, and in doing so, praise God. So this God's hands made the depths of the earth and the heights of the hills. The hills were something to journey over, and the sea and the dry lands were filled with threats and unknowns. God made these. This is a God that's beyond our comprehension. And that's what the psalmist is asking us to do, is bringing us into this call to worship this unbelievable God. That's why we're making a joyful noise. That's why we're praising. And then continues, this God is so big. Let us worship by bowing down and kneeling. That's a reverence for God. We're in a completely different place now. We went from praising to complete submission and bowing down and kneeling before this awesome God. Reverence is a beautiful word. I prefer it over obedience. I think it brings us into obedience, but I think it's a beautiful place to start. A reverence for something that we can't fully comprehend. And that's why ultimately our Creator gives us Jesus Christ, because we can comprehend a human being. But to comprehend this God, Creator, this awesome God, is something we just can't wrap our heads around. But here it is. We're kneeling down, we're bowing down, for we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. Oh, and here it comes. Listen up. This is where the psalm takes that turn, and this is where I considered scrapping it. Oh, that you would listen to his voice. And then the psalmist assumes the voice of God. Do not harden your hearts, as at Meribah and Massah. Those are places of contention and testing, where your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. They had seen all the good things I did for them. They saw that I delivered them out of Egypt, and now they're testing me. And then the kicker, for 40 years, I loathed that generation. Can you imagine God loathing an entire generation? This is the line I got to, and I said, no, this isn't the God I think I believe in, and this is not the way this psalm was supposed to go. But this in a nutshell is our life. How many times has your life taken a turn where you've looked to God and said, God, this is not the way it was supposed to go, the illness that came, the death that came, the loss of a job, the loss of a dream, the loss of a marriage. It's not the way it was supposed to go. In one of the commentaries that I read, the scholar brought us back to the beginning, saying that even though this was not the way our life was supposed to go, somehow we got through. And if you go back and reference a time that was particularly difficult that you got through, somehow you got up off of the bathroom floor. Somehow you got up to make the dinner for the kids you didn't think you had strength to make. Somehow you got out the door to go to the job you didn't think you had the strength to get to. Somehow you made it through. Praise God all over again, bringing us back to the beginning of the psalm. This is a good and awesome God who brings us through the difficult times. So what happens the next time you get to a difficult time in your life? God is saying, we forget all over again that God just got us through. We put God to the test again because we're not a bad people, but because we are a forgetful people. Thus, the children's message. It is so important to remember where we have been. Remember, go back and revisit that time. Maybe not fully, but maybe just long enough to say, thank God the sun is shining today. Thank God I have the people around me to support me. Thank God I had them then. Thank God I have them now. Praise God. This is our life. It's a full circle of praise and fall and crying out to God and getting through and praising all over again. So, I don't believe in this song that God is calling us to not complain. I think God is saying, bring me your complaints. Bring me your feelings. Bring me the full range of emotions, the same full range that these psalms reflect. That's the beauty of the psalms. I know you've heard me say it every week. I want to say it again. When we pray the psalms, we see a full reflection of all of who we are, humanly who we are, reflected back to us in the psalms, in anguish and fear and complaint and praise and celebration. God made us and created us to feel all of this. When we bring all of this to God, it's not sacrilegious to complain to God, to look up and say, what kind of a design is this? To harden your hearts, which God is complaining about in this psalm, is to walk away and completely give up and to turn away and reject God altogether. To complain to God is to stay in dialogue with God, is to keep in relationship with God, is to be intimate with God. We are a feel-good generation. We love to feel good. We talk about being happy as though happiness were our ultimate goal. Happiness is not the ultimate goal. Our life wasn't designed so that we can feel happy all the time. Our goal is to feel and live a fulfilled life. To live a fulfilled life is to be brought through the ups and downs with a sense of purpose and a sense of giving over yourself to something greater. It's being supported in community, and it's walking with Jesus Christ, who never leaves our side. Now, feelings are good, but feeling our feelings is not the same as being taken over by our feelings or being controlled by our feelings. Sometimes we have to do the right thing despite our feelings. And so this psalm was titled in lots of the commentaries I read, A Psalm of Praise and Obedience. And that's where we get that idea of obedience. So despite the pain that we're in, despite the suffering, we can complain, we can feel all that we're meant to feel, but ultimately we do the next right thing. And in this case, for this psalm, it's to trust God. And no matter how frustrated with God we are, no matter how frustrated with the design of this life, no matter how much despair we are feeling, we remember God brought us through once, God's going to bring us through again. I have a 17 and 20-year-old, almost 18 and 21. This is one of my favorite things to tell them. I'm sure it's one of their most annoying things to hear from their mother. When they're going through a hard time, I say, this is good. This is good. You're going to remember this so that the next time you go through a difficult time, you'll look back and say, I got through. God got me through. I'll get through again. But boy, do we forget. So our prayer today is to remember. Remember those times. And watch how remembering those times bring you ultimately to a place of praise once again. And I'll end by giving you an example. In Bible study on Wednesday, Mary Dill asked me, how do you handle all of these sad things that you need to be around as a pastor? And it was a timely question because I had just a few weeks ago had a wonderful session with my therapist, because by now you all know that I see a therapist. It's my version of spiritual direction. She's wonderful. You'd love her. And she and I were talking about my experiences with Mimi Hunter, whose memorial service was yesterday. This was a particularly difficult one for me because I didn't know her very well. And she was sweet, and she was kind, and she was as open as I had ever seen anyone be to dying. And we prayed together, and she'd smile at me, and then I'd leave, and I'd go on to the next thing. And now I have to go have lunch with this person, I need to draft a bulletin, I need to do this, I need to do that, and I'd push forward, and I'd push forward, and then I'd go home at the end of the day, I'd spill the milk, and I'd yell at the kids for leaving the milk out. Or I'd cry, or it would come out sideways. And what we realized together was I was not taking the time to allow the experiences to fully integrate into my body, into my heart. That's an example of a hardened heart, to just keep pushing on to the next thing, and the next thing, and the next thing, so that all of your experiences come out sideways because you haven't fully processed or integrated them. So I started integrating. I'd go home after a visit with Mimi, and I'd write in a journal, and I'd look out at the beautiful water, and I would see these frail little birds who reminded me of her, because at the end of her life, she was all bones, but she was happy. And then I shared this last week with the birthday blessings. And then when you fully take in those experiences, fully let them integrate, and then you're sitting outside with your kid and your other kid, and one of your best friends, and then another best friend shows up, and all of this comes unexpected, and you're sitting outside, and the sun is shining, and the water is glistening, and you look at the people you love, and you say, I'm so grateful we're all here today, because anything could happen to any one of us at any time. And yeah, my friend Bentley looked at me and said, what's the matter with you? But today, I would turn to him and say, nothing's the matter. My heart is no longer hardened. My heart sees the way God works in the world and wants to open up in praise for these moments, because these moments are the things that life is made of. Let us pray. Holy One, take our eyes and see through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire. Help us to be the masters of ourselves that we might be servants to others. Amen.